Hello and welcome to another Macro Mondays. My name's James Brodie. Today we'll be looking at the upcoming CPI data, key data this week, and also look back to last week's data and also key levels in markets, particularly looking at equities, fixed income, and also gold. So let's start with the data last week. Lots of data out, none of it seen as key data, but more concerning data for the US Federal Reserve. Firstly, on Thursday, weekly jobless claims jumped to its highest level in 8 months, consistently coming dead on 212,000 jobs being lost each month. It suddenly jumped to 231,000. Then on Friday, we had more concerning data. The University of Michigan consumer confidence data, representative of the whole country, expected to come in at 78, it plummeted to 67.4. Within that, the current conditions plummeted from 79.5 expectations to 68.8. Future expectations, again, plummeted. A big word, but these were big moves. Expected to come in at 77.3, came in at 66.5. More signs of stress for the consumer. And to make matters worse for the Federal Reserve, within that report, inflation expectations hit their highest levels in 30 years. In Europe, PPI, Producer Price Index, continued to fall, showing clear deflation with producer price indexes. Expected to come in down 7.7% year on year, came in down 7.8%. Italy, we also saw industrial production fall to its lowest levels since 2020. Not all bad news though. In the UK, GDP came in way above expectations, expected to come in 0.3% year on year, jumped to positive up 0.7%. Also, really strong employment data out of Canada. Monthly jobs created, expected to be 26,000 jobs, it jumped 90,400 new jobs created. The unemployment rate fell as well. Seems good news, but it's now fallen to 6.1%. Clearly a long way above US unemployment, which is low at 3.9%. A chart I highlighted last week, I'll bring up again, because as the economic data is getting worse in the US, you can see here the economic surprise index, the black line, showing how data is continuing to surprise to the downside. And you can see how highly correlated that's been before with the US dollar and also 10-year yields. It would imply that the weaker data is going to drag yields lower and also the dollar. Of course, a big caveat, on Wednesday, the key data we have this week is US CPI, Consumer Price Index. That has an outsized impact on the bond market, which in turn will have an impact on the dollar. And as the Fed has made it clear that they're now data watching, it has the potential to be a big market mover. We'll come to that a bit later. Other data that's just come out over the weekend, more concerning news out of China. Firstly, China's broad credit measure, M1, has fallen for the first time in its history as loan growth disappoints to the downside. M2 also came in below expectations, expected to come in 8.3%. It came in significantly lower at 7.2%. Inflation data in China out at the weekend as well shows the firm low inflation regime, CPI up just 0.3% year on year, and PPI, Producer Price Index in China, continues to be entrenched in deflation, down 2.5% year on year. More concerns here for the central bank in China. What else did we see last week with central banks? Sweden cut 25 basis points. Brazil cut 25 basis points as well. The Bank of England was unchanged, a split 7-2 in the meeting. Two members did vote for a cut. And we're starting to see more dovish rhetoric here from Governor Bailey, the Bank of England's central bank governor. The Reserve Bank of Australia is also unchanged. Bit of a tough start for the new governor, RBA Governor Michelle Bullock, not showing clear leadership and concerns growing from economists that the central bank is caught. The central bank in Australia currently pricing just 4 basis points of cuts from the overnight index swap, keeps oscillating, small chance of hikes, small chance of cuts, and the major economists in Australia are split as well. Some of them see 2 cuts this year, some see up to 2 hikes. Other overnight index swap pricing for year end. So this is what the bond market, the interest rate market, is seeing as expectations from central banks. The Fed, the market seeing 42 basis points by the Fed this year, 70 by the ECB, but the market's clearly pricing in a 94% chance that the ECB cut 25 basis points just a month from now, the 6th of June. What economists are expecting is certainly the ECB and the Bank of England will have to cut before the Fed, but they tend to think that they will try and do one and done until the Fed start cutting. Economists are concerned that the Bank of England and the ECB will not be able to do more than one unilateral cuts because the currencies will weaken too aggressively, possibly creating inflation. Bank of England, the market's expecting 59 basis points of cuts this year. And the Bank of Japan, well, the market's looking for one more hike. As we speak, the 2-year and the 20-year Japanese bond yields are making new cycle highs, and the market is starting to price more chance of interest rate moves there. We'll come to that impact on dollar yen in a second. But if we're with central banks, another interesting point on gold, back to gold again, we spoke about it last week. Gold price is pushing higher again. It had a big rally last week. The PBOC, the People's Bank of China, the central bank, brought gold last month in April for the 18th straight month. That data just came out. They added 60,000 troy ounces to its reserves. In fact, global central banks have now bought 2,100 tons of gold in the last 2 years. You can see a clear shift in reserve management and the purchase away from US treasuries and US dollar and central banks moving their reserves clearly into gold. This, in my view, is a long-term tailwind to the gold price. It's not going up as a short-term trade, but this is a long-term change in central bank reserves. And if you can see the chart here of gold, you can see we hit in early April new highs. We had a sell-off, and now we're in that price between recent highs, recent lows. There's key resistance now in gold at 2,392, and there's clear support in gold at 2,286. What's key here is if gold breaks above the key resistance, you're going to see more huge inflows and the price will surge higher. The key support, well, just below that, there's a whole series of stops. If it breaks below there, stops will get triggered. So that's why we're in this area between recent highs and the recent pullback low. The next move either way is key. We'll either see aggressive buying on a break higher or aggressive selling on the break lower. It's a good point to sit on the sidelines and wait to see what happens. One of the hardest things to do in trading is just sitting and waiting. Currencies had a pretty quiet week last week. There was no intervention by the Ministry of Finance in Japan. Interest rates weren't moving aggressively. Little volatility there, and so we saw very little volatility in currencies. If we do look at the dollar yen though, I've mentioned before that recently, just as much as 2 weeks ago, the bearish bets against the yen were 18-year highs. People talking about a possible currency crisis in Japan, but if you look at the chart, you can see it's much more of an interest rate play. The number one factor driving certainly G10 currencies is the interest rate differentials. And as you can see here, we have the chart, we have dollar yen in orange, and the black line is the 10-year interest rate differential. So 10-year dollar yield minus the 10-year yen yield. And you can see it's very much an interest rate play. It does suggest that dollar yen should be about 5 to 6 big figures lower at the moment. And certainly a lot of the interest is certainly fast money chasing this yen crisis narrative. It's much more an interest rate play. And what that brings us back to is the data. The Fed have made it clear they don't want to hike again, which would imply we may well have seen the peak in dollar yen, especially with the Ministry of Finance intervening twice in the last 2 weeks. But again, if we see any sign of the inflation CPI headline coming in lower than what's expected, then dollar yen will move lower. The data's all about expectations. We know inflation data recently has come out above expectations. That means that economists' expectations for Wednesday's CPI number have already been pushed higher. Again, the market reacts to the data, how it comes out against the expectations. In my view, we've seen the peak in dollar yen. Again, the data will play out, CPI Wednesday, and then we'll move forward to the next employment data. Very little central bank speak last week. We did have one come out at the end of the week, Fed's Bowman, saying they don't see rate cuts as warranted this year. So what we're seeing in markets, actually in the US, we're seeing volatility fall because the market's suddenly not pricing hikes from the Fed or seeing any chance of hikes, but the market's not pricing cuts either. If we look at the volatility in the equity market, well, the VVIX, so the volatility of the VIX index, actually just made the lowest levels since 2015. If we go on to the S&P 500, you can see similar to gold. In late March, early April, it made all-time highs, and then we had a pullback, and we've since bounced. It's again in no man's land. The market's waiting for a break higher to new all-time highs, in which case we'll see fast money rushing in to buy, or a break of the recent lows. Last week was a strong week for equities, asset markets in general. The S&P, the NASDAQ, and gold all had strong rallies last week. The S&P, you can now see it sits just below all-time highs of 5,254. Again, we'll see some profit taking at these levels, but certainly a weaker than expected CPI data, this would most likely break through the previous highs, and you'd see fast money buying coming straight in. Then the CTAs would follow it, then the retail traders, and equities would make a new merry trend higher. One important point with the S&P and passive investing. In the last 10 years, we've seen huge flows into the SPY, the S&P ETF. The reason is, as you can see here, it's making all-time highs or just about to. But if you look at those big individual stocks that we heard so much about recently, well, a lot of those have fallen by over 90%. The likes of Peloton, Beyond Meat, Zoom, Rivian, Lucid, certain work from home stocks, certain AI stocks, well, those stocks alone have all fallen over 90% from their peaks. Well, the S&P, it's back right on just about all-time highs. That's why passive investing has become so popular. It's so hard to pick the winners. Why not go with the index? Even Tesla. Everyone loved Tesla 18 months ago. People couldn't get enough of it. It's since fallen 60% from its highs. If we look at the NASDAQ Composite Index, again, it's sitting just below all-time highs. Resistance, the previous close, highest close, 16,442. Again, we're just below there. You can see on Friday, tiny candle, a down candle, profit taking. If you've made money in the recent run up, then it's a good level to take profit on that, and you can add on the break above resistance. If we see the NASDAQ breaking above resistance, just like gold, the S&P, you'll see fast money rushing in to buy the break. It's a cheap purchase because you can have a stop loss just below the previous highs. Again, support. Well, we're a long way from that here. The recent lows, early April, 15,222. If it were to break below there, then you would see aggressive selling. But at the moment, it looks like the NASDAQ, just like the S&P and gold, they want to test those all-time highs. They want to break higher. But don't hold your breath. Wednesday's CPI is a pretty big day. The big mover of the week. Sorry, same as last week. Back to cocoa. Last week, we mentioned that it had fallen 15% in one day. Well, this week, it had a one-day rally of over 13%. These are both the largest one-day swings in 65 years. So while the volatility of volatility in equities is getting lower, cocoa's going the other way. Biggest swings in 65 years. Hold on tight if you're trading that one. Too risky for me. And on to my chart of the week, the US 10-year yield. Again, big move for bond market this week with CPI data. And you can see a short-term clear trend line coming up. And the market's just bounced from recent lows around 445. That's the key support. A break of last week's lows and you'll see the yields go lower, money rushing into bonds. Flip side though, if CPI comes in stronger, the resistance will be at 4.7%. It breaks above that, then we're going to see more aggressive selling in bonds. Which brings us to the key data this week. On Tuesday, we have US PPI, Producer Price Index, German ZEW, and UK employment. Wednesday's CPI expected to come in a small drop from last month's 3.5%, expected to come in 3.4%. year on year. Also in the US, we have retail sales. Don't forget recent economic data showing the consumer is increasingly struggling. That will be a good barometer of the economy. On Thursday, early on, we have Japanese GDP, US industrial production, Australian employment. Again, with the focus on will the RBA hike or cut? There's a lot of attention on Aussie employment on Thursday. That has the potential to move the Aussie bonds and currency aggressively. Also, a US regional Fed survey, the Philadelphia Fed Index, gets a lot of attention. And on Friday, we have Chinese retail sales. So we have asset prices starting the week risk on, looking to break new highs. But we have the big risk with CPI on Wednesday. Keep your eyes peeled on that one. Potentially lots of volatility around that. Have a great week. Thank you very much.